Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 to 19. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. May God bless the reading of his word.
Most of us, when we were taught as children, we were taught not to talk to strangers. I know I was. And this, in reality, means what to our children today? There was two TV segments that have been put on the shows over the past few years. One was on Oprah dealing with this issue, and one was with Katie Couric when she was in the morning show, if you remember that time a few years ago. And they actually both had these shows that talk with these people who were doing studies on children and how they handled this issue of talking to strangers. And the key question they asked that was interesting was, who is a stranger? And children were asked, some of them were 10 years old, and they answered this. They said, in general, strangers are mean-looking, darkly dressed people who wear these masks, and they're bad, and they want to hurt you. That's what the predominant feeling of strangers were among children. And so the issue is really, that came from that, is that we really have to define for our children who is a stranger to them. And basically, it should be anybody that they don't know, right? Strangers can look very nicely dressed, could look like a pastor, wear a tie, a suit, and come up to them and be very nice and say, hey, little Joey, could you help me find my dog? I just lost my little dog, puppy dog, and he's around here somewhere. Can you help me find him? And if they're not careful, they can go and help this man find the little dog and disappear and never return. In today's society, we have missing children, pictures all over the place, child abductions we hear about. I don't know if you just saw the news, the boy that was missing in Las Vegas was found alive. So that's unusual to hear that. Usually they are not found or they're found dead. And so there, in this today's society, this issue of how we deal with our children, understanding strangers and who they are, really, is important. But unfortunately, as we impress this on our children at a young age, when we grow to an older age, we still don't talk to strangers. We still don't talk to people we don't know. Actually, we don't like to talk to people we don't know. It's hard to talk to people we don't know. We don't know what to talk to them about, other than maybe introduce ourselves. Hi, I'm Jeff, and you know, what's your name? Where are you from? And then it gets kind of difficult, because what do you ask? What do you say? What questions do you stay away from? You know, there's certain topics with certain people that you're not sure about, and so it's much easier not to talk to strangers. And so we kind of carry this into our adult life that we don't talk to strangers. We don't like to talk to strangers. Well, in this text in Deuteronomy that Catherine just read for us, it reveals God's principle on how we are to deal with strangers in our midst, the strangers in our lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 through 19, if you notice, the first two verses reveal God's character, his characteristics, about his person, his identity, and things about him. Let's look at these verses again, verses 17 and 18. I'll read them. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. Now the NIV here uses the word alien in its translation. If you looked at the King James Version, it uses the word stranger, and I will be flip-flopping between these two words, stranger, alien. And this word often meant a person from a foreign land, in this case. Now, these first two verses state the characteristics of God. So what do we see here? That God is greater and mightier than all other gods and all other rulers. He is he shows no partiality. He defends the weak. He cares for the alien or stranger. So as God is, then you and I, as followers of God the Almighty, or Jesus Christ our Lord, are to do the same. And this is where the command comes in verse 19. Verse 19 says, "And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt," speaking to the Israelites. In the Old Testament of the Bible, the first section of the Scriptures, a stranger or alien was simply a person who was not a member of a social group. Somebody outside, like I said before, a foreigner, somebody who's foreign to this social group. Abraham was a stranger among the Canaanites when he was just in the beginning times wandering around as a nomad there. Moses was a stranger in the land of Midian when he fled from Egypt. The Israelites, as was mentioned in our text, were strangers in Egypt. They were held there captive as well, but they were viewed as strangers. And after the Israelites settled in the land of Canaan, it's interesting that the term alien or stranger not only designated somebody who was like a temporary guest or a visitor to that land, but it also took on this more specialized meaning of a resident alien, somebody who's permanently residing in the land. But they were still referred to as strangers or aliens. In other words, they were there, but they had the green cards. You know, they could reside there legally, I guess. Strangers, though, were to be treated with kindness and generosity. The Scriptures are clear about this in the Old Testament. Leviticus, listen to what Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34 say. "When an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself." Sounds familiar. "For you were aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Now, while the Bible doesn't specifically tell us how we are to deal with maybe the issue of illegal immigration, but it does make clear our responsibility for how we are to show compassion to the immigrant, whether or not their status is legal or illegal. We are to show them compassion. We are to treat them with care and generosity. Strangers or aliens were even included in the Israeli legal system. We see this in the Old Testament. They were subject to most religious practices, requirements, such as like ritual cleanliness and keeping of the Sabbath and fast days. Strangers could celebrate the Passover if they were circumcised, and they could even make offerings. This is how the Old Testament was inclusive of aliens and strangers, encouraging the Israelites to take them in. And then the prophet Ezekiel even envisioned the day when the strangers and aliens among the Israelites would be given an inheritance in the land of Israel, just like they were Jewish blood, the chosen people. They would be given an inheritance. So you can see God's inclusiveness of this group of people outside his chosen ones, the Jewish people, of the strangers in their midst. Now, the New Testament word stranger usually means simply someone who is not known. And this is what we're going to focus on today. The first point I'd like you to remember is that strangers is someone who is just simply not known, just like we try to teach our children. And this is illustrated in one of Jesus' parables that is well known as titled The Good Samaritan. And I'm going to read this to us, but let's look at this from the point of strangers in our midst. Let me read this for us. On one occasion, and this is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, if you want to follow along in your Bible. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for an extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. The Jewish man who was robbed and beaten and left for dead was a stranger to the Samaritan who was traveling by. But yet, the Samaritan reached out and cared for this strange Jewish man. And if you remember the history here, there's this animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews as well, which is another part to the story. But the Samaritan cared for this man. He helped him in his desperate need. And then Jesus says, we are to do likewise. This is a very important point that Jesus makes in the aspect of the strangers in our midst and how we are to care for them. We are as much a stranger to the person who doesn't know us as they are to us. You know, we're both strangers. But when we take initiative, when we make that action to help and care for this strange, unknown person in our midst, then that act in itself bridges the gap and we become like neighbors to each other. It's like they are known to us because of the way we treat them and the kindness we show toward them. And they view us as neighbors as well. As Pastor Ian mentioned a few weeks ago, often when we drive by car accidents, we don't really care about people. I mean, if there was nobody there to help and we're first on the scene, maybe we would definitely pull over, hopefully. I would think most of us would, or call 911 as we're driving by and say, you know, there's an accident, someone needs the help. But if there's someone helping, predominantly, and myself included, I don't really care. I mean, we might be curious, see what's going on, but we just drive by, go to our own thing. But if it was somebody we knew, if it was Dustin, you know, we drive by and there's people there to help and all of a sudden, whoa, that's Dustin! You know, we pull over. Why? Yeah, because we know that person and therefore we're connected. We're going to care for them. If it was our neighbor or our friend or a fellow student, whatever it may be, a family member, we're definitely going to stop no matter if there's help there. And so there's that difference between the stranger in our midst who we don't have any idea about and somebody we know. We would definitely stop. But Jesus commands us then to love the stranger just as if we knew them. This is the challenge to us who are followers of Christ, who believe in the Lord God Almighty. Now, we may not often have to pick somebody up off the road, but this does mean at least crossing the room and introducing ourselves to someone who we just don't know or who we know doesn't know us. We may know their name because somebody told us their name, but we know they don't know us. And so they're a stranger in our midst. That's at least what we're called to do. It was interesting. Yesterday, Christy was sharing her testimony to us about the mission trip, and she was sharing down in Suriname, there was this girl, Carmen. Did I get that name right, Carmen? I was trying to remember, yeah. And she knew Carmen was hurting, and she was keeping off by herself. And so she crossed that area. I don't know if it was a room or not, but she went over to Carmen, and she just simply asked her if there was something for which she could pray for her. And she prayed for Carmen, and then she shared how Carmen opened up and started to share with her. And you see what happened. There was this strangeness that occurred, but then when Christy reached out, and showed some care, then they became neighbors more like neighbors. They were able to share and have that connection. This past Tuesday, it was interesting after I remember Pastor Ian's sermon the other day when he was talking about the car accident and everything. Well, I was driving down Route 18 South and from the church here, and it was like right during the construction time, about maybe a quarter or a half mile before you get to Route 1, that exit, and there's that new overpass for people to walk over. I don't know if they use it yet, but it's right after that. There's this construction area, and we were going about 35 miles an hour, almost like just car length in between us. The cars are moving pretty quickly, and I wasn't really paying attention. But then all of a sudden, I noticed there was this woman that had literally stepped out into our lane. I was in the right lane. And she was waving her arms, and she was like screaming at the cars that were going by her, had just gone by her. And she had turned, and then she had stepped out into our lane, oncoming traffic. There was one car in front of me. And that car slowed down, of course, thankfully. Otherwise, I would have seen another accident. But slowed down and pulled over and was beside her. She was still in the lane and then stopped. And so I stopped, too, because I couldn't go anywhere. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this, and the car must have rolled down their window in front of me. And I saw the lady. She was desperate for some reason. She was screaming, and then she was just going like this and pointing to her car. And I knew there was something wrong. Something really wrong here. So I was far enough back. Her car was still up here, and the car that stopped was here. So I just pulled over and got in behind her because I figured, I got a phone. I can call 911. And so I did. I pulled over, and I dialed my phone, and I was getting out of the car. And then as I saw the lady get into the car, and she was in the back seat, and I noticed there was this man lying in the back seat. Now, meanwhile, this other car had pulled over in front of her, and had already was on the phone talking to 911. I could hear her screaming the directions and where we were, so I just hung up. And I went over to the car, and I opened up the passenger side door, and I said, "What's the problem?" And this man obviously was slumped over and had fallen in between the front two seats, and he was just kind of out of it, and his eyes were open, but he was like having a seizure or something. His mouth was open, his tongue was hanging out. And she was cradling him in the back seat and over his shoulders and said she didn't know what was wrong. And so with her help, we got the seatbelt off him because it was like gouging into his gut. And we laid the seat back and put him to rest more calmly. But he was having a hard time breathing. The ambulance was on its way. And so I just stayed there and waited with them. And her name was Michelle and his name was Dave. And he wouldn't respond to any questions or anything like that. So we stayed there a little bit, and then when the help came, I simply just said it was time for me to go. There's nothing else more I could do, so I pulled out my church business card that was provided to me, and I gave it to her, and I just said, you know, if there's any reason or any way you need me to follow up with me or anything I can do further, just give me a call on this, and here's my information. And she didn't even look at the card. Thankfully, because I like to be covert pastor kind of thing sometimes. But she just reached out and grabbed me and hugged me really tight. And that surprised me. And then as I was driving away, I was thinking, here's a strange woman that I've never met before. And in about a period of 10 to 15 minutes, she was hugging me like a very good friend, you know, very grateful, thankful, of course. But it was like there was a connection, a bond between us that wasn't there. And we had gone from being strangers to, in a very short time, being like neighbors. And this was, it just struck me that, wow, the Word of God is so true. That when we actually reach out to the stranger in our midst, in any way, whether it's pulling over or just introducing ourselves and really taking interest or even offering, "Is there some way I can pray for you?" You know, when the conversation stalls, "Is there some way I can pray for you?" And see what happens. See how the Lord works. Exodus chapter 22, verse 21 says this. Listen, "Do not mistreat or an alien or oppress him." Again, a reminder to the Israelites. "For you were aliens in Egypt." God reminded the Israelites again and again and again and again that, hey, you were strangers in a foreign land, for 400 years. You'd think that language would get kind of familiar after 400 years, but the way they were treated was like aliens and strangers. So you never treat those in your midst like you were treated. So God's principle that we are to follow is, and this would be common sense after what I've just said, but we are to care for the strangers in our midst. We are to care for them, to reach out to them. When someone is in obvious need or they're desperate for help, we reach out to help them. Now, most of us will do that. If we see somebody in obvious need or desperate help, I would say all of us here would help them reach out. But there are even more people in our lives that we don't know who are silently crying out for help. People that have been abused or in financial crisis or fighting depression or a broken relationship they're hurting from or just a feeling of being really lonely and they're not sure why or lost or directionless. And they're all around us. And we will never hear their cries unless we just introduce ourselves, find out who they are a little bit, show some care and say, "Hi, I'm Jeff, is there any way for which I can pray for you?" And it doesn't matter if it's at work or here in this worship service or wherever we may be, we can do that and care for the strangers in our midst. We are called to love them. Now, this becomes very personal when Jesus describes the day of the final judgment. And he uses this parable in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. In the latter part of this, Jesus as king says this. Let me read this for us. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" And the king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." We are to care for the stranger in our midst in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this reminds me and harkens back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, which says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." You know, hospitality in today's society is evaporating. Hospitality for strangers especially is disappearing quickly. And I know this personally because May and I have moved about 8 times in our 14 years of marriage, and soon to be 9 times, I hope. to move up closer to the church here, the church location. But in these 8 times, out of those 8 times, nobody has ever come and greeted us when we moved in to our new home. Nobody, except for with one exception. And that was our last move when we moved to Freehold Borough. We had one of our neighbors that was adjacent to us come over that first week we were there with a blueberry pie and knock on our door and greeted us warmly and welcomed us to the neighborhood. And that made such a huge difference to how we felt living there. At, you know, knowing that one of our neighbors, we knew them now, and they actually welcomed us. So I guess they were happy to have us there. Time will tell, right, if we click or not. But that made all the difference in the world. Christians aren't supposed to be the best at caring for the strangers in our midst. One time, May and I were in Colorado, and we went to visit Dr. Vernon Grounds, who May got really close to when we were in Denver Seminary. And so while we were traveling through Colorado, we stopped there, and we made an arrangement to visit with Dr. Vernon Grounds. Well, we used to serve at a church in Colorado, in Denver area, so we had friends there, and we said to one friend, "Lori, come along with us. You got to meet Dr. Grounds. He's a dear saint. He's like in his late 80s at that time. Faithful to the Lord, full of wisdom. His personal library is like 20,000 books. You know, he's just a well-read person, but not an intellectual in the sense of the way he comes across. So he's very down to earth. So I was really looking forward to meeting up with Dr. Grounds and having some time with him. But when we got there, we introduced him to Lori, I'd say more than half the time, he was there talking to Lori. And he was, you know, he was finding out about her. And meanwhile, May and I are sitting there, and we haven't seen him for a long time, and he knew us. And I was conflicted in my heart. I was like, this is great, you know. Lori's getting to know this dear saint. And he's a great guy in the Lord. He's such an encouragement to everyone who meets him. But I wanted more time with him. I want him to talk to me. I don't want time to Lori. He doesn't even know Lori. He knows me, you know. And there was this selfish feeling, like, come on. You know, we're going to live in New Jersey, or I think we're moving to New Jersey at the time. So it was that selfishness. But, the same applies to us, doesn't it? That we when we get together in a group like this, say, or any social gathering, who do we normally gravitate toward? We gravitate toward those people we know. And we selfishly kind of guard that time. We want to connect. If it's been a week, you know, like if it's a church service, we maybe haven't talked to each other really for the whole week. We want to get caught up a little bit, so we want to talk to them. But if we choose to do that, solely that, when there's strangers in our midst, then we are, in a sense, ignoring them. We are excluding them. And we don't really love them in this way, by including them in the community we are a part of and going to them and caring for them in that way. But I remember struggling about that, and it's really something that is, it takes intentional thinking to understand who is around us and if we know them or if they know us. We shouldn't restrict going to greet people just our own age either, or just in our own phase of life. I would think how encouraged I would be if I had gone to a new church and a junior high or high school student came up and greeted me warmly. I would be floored. You know, it's unexpected, and it would be such a warm experience. Or if I was a junior high school student coming to a church and this dear old man came up to me, put his arm around me and said, "Welcome to our community," you know, and then introduced me to other people. It would be a warm experience that way. Just a little care. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 19 says, commands us as well as the Israelites, "And you are to love those who are aliens, who are strangers, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt." So followers of Christ, we need to develop radar. We need to develop radar. And what this simply means for us is, like, we need to have this sensitivity, this heightened sensitivity of those around us with whom we don't know or who doesn't know us. So even right here and now, if you just look around, you may know most people's names, but maybe there's some people here that you don't know very well, even though they've been coming for months or years. You just never really know them that well. At some point, to go and introduce yourselves to them and care for them a little bit. Maybe even invite them to your home, if appropriate, or out to eat. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says, interestingly, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without even knowing it." This is in Hebrews. May and I had a unique experience in August and September, because we were between churches, to go visit 7 different churches. And we would enter the church. Nobody invited us to go. We just needed a place to go. So we'd go. And we were strangers there from the moment we walked in. And some churches greeted us warmly. But not one church really connected with us while we were there. And it's not an overall warm experience. Not that we go to church to connect with people. We go to worship God. But actually, that's because I'm a believer. But actually, that's part of being a believer, right? Connecting in God's community, the body of Christ. To go to a church and not really connect on a level that is significant and then leave after an hour, hour and a half of worship is leaves you with somewhat of a disconnecting feeling, you know? And that's what happened. That was our experience. There was one church that really warmly welcomed us, so we had a good start. But then we ended up leaving, and that was it. So they were the ones that I remember the most. one way to be sensitive to greeting our guests is, like Pastor Ian mentioned before, is if we could, our regulars at Cornerstone could sit near the front, at least leave the last two rows more vacant. Because if you come in and you sit closer to the front, then those, if there's guests, visitors that come in after the service starts, they can easily find a seat, and they don't have to then, because we filled up all the back seats, they don't have to walk in front of us and sit down in the front, because that just makes them feel a little more awkward. So Cornerstone, what we want is to be a community that cares for the strangers in our midst. We want them to feel the love and truth of Jesus Christ permeating through us, no matter who we are, as we connect with them and reach out to them. Just as Jesus taught that salt and light are useless unless they interact with their surroundings, we as Christians are really ineffective unless we interact with our surroundings, and that especially means the stranger in our midst. Let me throw up this picture. God is already at work in people's lives, and He invites us and challenges us to do what He is already like. Just like He, in Deuteronomy, it said, the first two verses, His characteristics, He loves the alien. He provides for the alien. So He wants us to do the same, to care for them. And this picture here is an illustration of some good Christian principles, if you think about it. You've got this little girl, and this is her father. Painting by Emile Renouf. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. But A Helping Hand. So this little girl, you can imagine, she's thinking, wow, I'm rowing us home. You know, I'm taking us home, right? But in reality, it's her father who's providing all the strength and power, probably steering, and he's doing the work. But she's participating in that. And there's a couple important metaphors that apply to this issue in our Christian walk, is just that, just as the real strength of the oar is coming from her father, yet she is participating in the work. And when we go to care for strangers in our midst, realize the fact that they're in our radar and we're alerted to them, God is already working in their life. He's doing work we're not aware of. And so we're just joining Him in the work He's doing. And if you look at the little girl here, what she is doing is in parallel to what her father's doing. What she is doing is the same. It looks the same as the father, even though he's doing all the work, pretty much, or most of it. She's just mimicking what the father's doing. And this is what Jesus Christ invites us to do, is to join Him in loving the strangers in our midst, just like He modeled in His life. Let's pray together. Lord, we often fail at paying attention to those around us, even to the people we know. For we are self-focused, selfish people. I confess my own selfishness. And so, Lord, we ask that Your Spirit would continue to prod us, to prick us, to know when people have needs around us, or people who we don't even know are around us, and we can reach out or say a kind word or introduce ourselves and ask if there's anything we can pray for them about when appropriate. Lord, help us to be aware of how You are working around us and how we can join You in that work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.